This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
News story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, top story of the day, Michael. Bills fire head coach Sean McDermott after nine seasons of no Super Bowl. Let me ask you a quick question. If this loss yesterday would have been to the Kansas City Chiefs, would they have fired him?
Oh, that is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I think the answer would still be yes.
Really? Because then I would have argued, been like, hey, you're losing to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Arguably the greatest coach. You just can't get over that hump, but you get over every other hump. But because you lost to the Broncos, a team that many nationally believed that it was more about their defense than anything else. And this year, this team put up 33 against you. Now, had some major turnovers that changed this game. But overall, Sean McDermott, 98-50 with Buffalo. 8-8 mark in the postseason. Two AFC championship losses to the Chiefs. He won five consecutive AFC titles from 2020 to 2024. Obviously, they finished second this year behind the Patriots. So, agree with that move to fire Sean McDermott?
I am on the fence about that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that yesterday was Josh Allen's fault.
Josh Allen was not good.
The Josh Allen thing is... mirrors John Elway a lot.
Yeah, it sure does.
The whole can't win the big one. The big one being the AFC Championship or moving on to the next level.
Although Elway
Whereas Elway's was the Super Bowl.
Elway's was the Super Bowl. And I don't know if you saw Josh Allen's emotional post-game press conference. You know, very teary-eyed and said he let his teammates down. Listen, man, Josh Allen's one of the best to ever do it, and he continues to be in that. He is a tier one quarterback. There's zero doubt. The Bills didn't have the weapons that they had even a year ago, but even when they have the weapons, you know, you're not winning. So, it's tough because some people are calling for, you know, the general manager to move down. But Brandon Bean just got promoted to president of football operations. So I don't know. Because you've had years where you have a lot of weapons around Josh Allen. And you've had years where, like this year, maybe you don't have as many weapons around Josh Allen. So the argument of moving on from your GM. I mean, they promoted him up. This is, you know, it's kind of a John Elway promotion. No, it's actually football operations. So I don't know exactly what they're going to do on the GM side of things, but somebody had to take a fall here, and I suppose it made sense. Big Hub texting in on the First Advantage text line. Was it a stupid fire? I I wouldn't say it's a stupid firing. I wouldn't have been shocked if they would have kept it going for another year to see what happens, but I mean, you got to look at something. And yeah, Josh Allen wasn't great. Not good numbers in that game. Critical turnovers. You know, he threw the two interceptions and he had two fumbles. He actually had three fumbles, but only lost two of them. It was probably the right move to fire him, I suppose. But now who are you going to go get? There's a lot of openings out there. There's a lot of coaches out there and a lot of openings, though, still to fill. I mean, you got the Giants are official. Falcons are official now. You got Stefanski going to Atlanta. Big Hub says, is that a good move? He won Coach of the Year. Stefanski, I think he's a good coach, but he's a part of a really bad organization. So can he go to a different organization, a little more respected than Cleveland, and turn around? I don't think that's a bad move. I don't. It's a crapshoot, man. It's a crapshoot. Some guys are really good when they go elsewhere. You know, Andy Reid was really good with Philadelphia, goes to Kansas City, and is really good again. Better, actually.
Yeah, Philadelphia needed to shake it up because he was not winning the big game.
They weren't winning the big game.
NFC Championship. I think he lost the NFC Championship 4 years in a row before going to the Super Bowl and losing that. Then he goes to the Chiefs and starts a false dynasty. I will die on that hill. Then, you know, it's like that. I think sometimes you need a shakeup. So what are you going to shake up? Are you going to get rid of your quarterback who's probably going to be a Hall of Famer? Or are you going to get rid of the head coach? I think in this situation, if you're going to shake something up, probably going to have to be the head coach.
Well, and, you know, you've got Joe Brady, who was going to be up the offensive coordinator for the Bills, who was rumored to be up for some job opportunities because of what he did with Les, with Josh. I mean, is that a guy you hand the keys to? We'll see what they do there. I don't think it was a bad move. Probably could have waited. I mean, would I have moved on from him? I liked what he said, even though I disagreed with what he said. It was an interception. Yes, it was an interception. Jaquan McMillan did get that interception. That was, I mean, was it Brandon Cook? Going down, James Cook, Brandon Cooks. The catch did not survive the ground. And in this case, it was McMillan's hands that were acting as the ground, right? So when he catches the ball, and as he's going to the ground and rolling over, the ball is moving and coming out, that would have been an incomplete pass. The problem is it did not touch the ground. It touched McMillan's hands. That's an interception. That's 100% an interception. I agree 100% with that call.
Yeah. If I was a Bills fan, I would totally feel the same way. It is the correct call.
It is.
It's technically the correct call.
It's not a tie goes to the runner kind of thing because he did not finish the catch. We all know catch is weird now. The ball can hit your hands. You can have it in your hands. It's not touching the ground. Step out of bounds. But the ball's moving in your hands, but it never touched the ground. It's an incomplete pass. In this case, catches it, goes to the ground. As he's going to the ground, he's got it in his hands. And then he's rolling out, and it's leaving his hands, and it goes into McMillan's hands. It never touched the ground.
Yeah. Now, normally, if they both had it, they would have given it to the offense. But Cooks never had it.
Right. If he would have held on to it and they both are just fighting for it at the end, you're going to blow a whistle and say, yes, it's going to go to Brandon Cooks.
Now, once they were down, once the play was dead, Cooks did not have it. Mm-hmm. McMillan had it.
Yeah.
And
McMillan's hands
was an interception.
McMillan's hands acted as the ground in that instance. Did not survive the ground. And it went to the defender. Hell of a play. Saver. Game saver. And listen, Sean McDermott said the right things. He's complaining about the call, and he said he's going to stand up for Buffalo because, damn it, they deserve it. I feel for the Bills fans, man. That sucks. I mean, if this were not the Broncos they were playing, I'd feel a lot differently. I'd feel pretty, I think, a little sad for Josh Allen. Now, Tanner and Brian were talking about this morning. Tanner's saying he has no sympathy for Josh Allen. Even though he's a Josh Allen fan, I felt bad for the guy. I mean, it does suck. Because I root for that dude when he's not playing the Broncos, or him winning doesn't impact the Broncos. But he had a bad game.
As a diehard Broncos fan and a hater of everybody who's not Broncos.
Yeah, annoying.
I felt bad for him, too.
Really?
I saw his emotion on the sideline, and I'm like, that guy must just feel awful. Awful. Just seeing what was on his face, like he probably cried when he got home.
Yeah, because, I mean, most of the time he's losing to the Chiefs. And most of the time when he loses to the Chiefs go on and win the Super Bowl. So you can at least say we're losing to the best team in the NFL.
Now you can say that now, too.
Right now, you can say that. Right now. And we'll see what hat picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. We'll have some interesting picks to make this weekend. For this weekend, Michael. But, surprising move there. Somewhat surprising move, I guess. I don't know. Depends on who you ask. I'm curious what Bills fans think of that. So the vacancies that are open, you got Ravens, Raiders, Steelers, Titans, Browns, Dolphins, Bills, and Cardinals still? Is that right? Did I miss anything? Because Atlanta got their guy. The Giants got their guy. And that's all that we've had resolved at this point. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Aaron said, do we see John Gruden get another opportunity in the NFL?
I think he'll have another opportunity.
You think so? You think so?
I think he's popular enough.
I think time has passed.
Time has passed, and we have more context on the email, at least the one
still,
email that
still
leaked to the media.
Yeah. Yeah. He still said what he said.
He said what he said. I don't think, like, from what I've heard from other players, I don't think I don't think it was supposed to be a racist thing.
I mean, Gruden tried to cover it up by saying he meant something else.
Yeah. But a lot of players took his side.
A lot of players did. Of you know, all different colors, all different walks of life. There were a lot of them that took his side.
Yeah.
And so still believe in him today. I don't know.
I would defer probably to the people that know him better than me, who is just a Broncos fan and an armchair quarterback and someone who's never been in the same room with him.
Yeah, I asked Faith about that Rams-Bears game, and she didn't want to bring it up, but here she is getting into it.
Sorry, Faith.
Yeah, she's like, I give permission to skip Bears-Rams. I don't want to keep living through that trauma. Yeah, that was tough. But I'm telling you, that throw Caleb Williams made to ultimately tie the game was a Madden play. I mean, he went back, what'd he go, like 20 yards to make that throw? It was quite the throw.
Wish I could have seen it, but Fubo and NBC are in a pissing match.
What do you mean?
Fubo doesn't have NBC or any NBC Universal channels, so I couldn't watch it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's odd.
Yeah, it's, you know, every now and then when you're watching Dish or whoever, they'll have a little thing there that says Fox 31 is not going to be on your TV anymore because Comcast.
Oh, they're doing that again. They're doing that again.
It was one of those things.
Oh, and you had Comcast?
Well, I have Fubo TV.
Okay. The last play, I had accepted our fate, but that dang Caleb Williams, that OT play for the interception, hard to put that on Caleb when DJ Moore literally gave up on the route. Yeah, DJ Moore looked lost on that route. And you just had, hey, listen, you had a bunch of Rams defensive backs that were told all week that they were the weakness on this defense, and they went out and they made plays. Cam Curl, that pick, I mean, that obviously changed everything. And the Rams go down and get the win. But, you know, in Caleb Williams, 3 interceptions. I think he's becoming a really good quarterback, though. And the Bears, listen, you got reasons to be excited. You like your coach. You like your quarterback. You like a lot of other things here. But the Rams are a really resilient football team.
Caleb Williams is becoming, everybody was saying he's a generational talent. Maybe he's becoming what he was supposed to be. I mean,
yeah,
He wasn't that last year, no. And this year he's amazing.
I think Bears fans are going to have a lot of winning in their future. So, Faith, I do think that that's going to be something. This is going to be a good football team next year. So, easily be a playoff team next year.
And lose to the Broncos in the Super Bowl.
Next year's going to be tough. Next year's going to be strange. It's going to be interesting. You know, this is the year to do it, I think. This is the year to take advantage of a weird season. I'm not saying it's a lesser run. It's kind of, listen, the Nuggets won a championship, and that was a very odd season for a lot of teams that were supposed to be very good, and then there were injuries, and there were upsets in the NBA playoffs like we've never seen before, and the Nuggets took advantage of that. It will not make that championship any lesser than all 99.9% of the other ones, meaning the bubble championship was definitely lesser than all of them. But if the Broncos can go win this, then yeah, you're going to hear people say it was certainly a different path. But I'm telling you, the winner of the Super Bowl will flat out have deserved it, because I'm telling you, the Rams and the Seahawks, if you can get to the Super Bowl and beat one of those teams, then there's not going to be a lot of national talk of, yeah, this was a weak schedule. I'm telling you, Seattle's ridiculous. That is a good football team. And when Sam Darnold is playing, you know, not doing crazy things, then, I mean, you had the, right off the bat, you had Shaheed for the 95-yard kick return for a touchdown. Tom Brady even said on the broadcast, like, sometimes you can point to one play to start of the game and say that it changed everything. And he said, in that case, it did. I mean, it doesn't happen very often to return a kick for a touchdown now. And when that happens, I think it does change the game. And Seattle was playing from behind early, and they were down 17-0 at the end of the first quarter. And they just could not keep up. And San Francisco had one of those games. It was just not great. Brock Purdy was really bad. 15 of 27 for 140 yards, no touchdowns, one pick. It was a rough go for him. They couldn't run the ball. Christian McCaffrey was held. You know, he didn't run very well. He had 5 receptions for 39 yards. It was a rough go for San Francisco. And Patriots-Texans, Drake May was good. 3 touchdowns for him. He didn't light the world on fire, made a couple of mistakes. But they were, you know, with Stevenson and Henderson running, you know, combined with Drake May's 10 yards, 105 yards rushing for them. And on the other side, C.J. Stroud was terrible. He was bad in their win against Pittsburgh. The reason that game was not a full blowout until the 2 turnovers against Pittsburgh was because C.J. Stroud kept Pittsburgh in the game. And we talked about it. If Stroud plays like that, then the Patriots are going to probably win, because I think a defense can win games against teams like Pittsburgh. I don't think that's the case for, obviously, not the case for teams like New England. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Big Hub, yeah, Stroud was atrocious, really bad. And now, I mean, if you're a Houston fan, are you wondering about the future at that position this weekend? I would imagine so. Texter says, granted, it's early in the morning process, but I wonder if Josh Allen had any input. I felt it was a knee-jerk move, firing McDermott. Josh messed up the game. Well, and that's the thing. If you're going to fire him, you got to do it now, because you got to get involved quickly in the carousel if you want to get a guy that you think is... Now, I keep seeing Mike Tomlin's name pop up. Yeah, it'd be cool. But first off, he had a 2-year contract with Pittsburgh, 2 years remaining. And he allegedly, whatever, no reason to deny that now, but the facts are coming out that it was him alone that stepped down. And then it was reported initially that he was not going to seek a coaching job in 2026. Things change, though. I mean, don't you think things change?
I mean, things change, but like after.
Yeah, but he could go get a quarterback. If he could go to Buffalo, he could finally have a quarterback. He hasn't had a quarterback.
He can finally have a quarterback, but the Rooneys loved him.
Right. So that would be kind of a slap in the face to them.
It would kind of feel like a slap in the face to them.
Yeah, true.
And you were there almost 20 years.
I don't see Tomlin doing that. But then again, opportunities change. And if suddenly I say, hey, Buffalo's interested in you, if I'm his agent, you'd have a quarterback. How do you spin that to Pittsburgh, though?
If I was him, I'd say, like, I'm going to wait a couple years because there's going to be another franchise.
But when are you ever going to get this opportunity with this quarterback?
How do we know this quarterback's good enough, though?
He's good enough.
I mean, he's made some really bad mistakes in the playoffs.
No, I he's good enough. I would say he's good enough.
I'm playing devil's advocate. I think he is good enough.
Yeah, if I were Mike Tomlin and someone presented that opportunity to me, I would say, hey, life's short. I got to go to Pittsburgh and basically say, hey, guys, here's the deal. They want me. Now, I don't even know if that's realistic. And until we see otherwise, it has been reported that Mike Tomlin has no interest in coaching in 2026, but that was before you know that Buffalo has an opening. And one of the main things Mike Tomlin has missed since Big Ben retired has been the quarterback position. Say what you want about Aaron Rodgers coming to Pittsburgh for Mike Tomlin. Rodgers ain't Josh Allen. 7 years ago, 5 years ago, okay. But Josh Allen is a once in a lifetime type of quarterback. There's a few of those guys, but he's that good. But then again, Tomlin, is he the guy that gets you far? He doesn't lose in the regular season. Neat. Is it the quarterback position that's keeping him from doing it at the playoff level?
I mean, he was also losing with Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
It was in the middle and the end of Ben Roethlisberger's career, but that's six playoff
losses
in a row.
Yeah, he won early. Texter here is, do you think the media is too one-sided? Nobody's calling out Josh Allen's turnovers. I've been seeing the opposite of that. I've certainly seen a majority of people throwing out, you know, Josh Allen was the reason that Buffalo lost that game. And it's hard to argue, but I will say this. The James Cook fumble, Michael, when Buffalo's up 7-3, that felt like the game changer. Now, I'm not putting it on James Cook, but I'm saying that game was going exactly how I felt it was going to go on Wednesday when I said I could totally see Denver marching right down, taking up a lot. There were two possessions in the first quarter. Two possessions, Mike. The Broncos' long drive that led to a field goal, and then the Buffs' long drive that led to a touchdown. And then the Broncos turned around after that and had a three and out. Buffalo's moving the football. James Cook fumbles it. That changed everything in that game. Tom Brady wants to talk about a kick return for a touchdown for Seattle that changed the game. That fumble by James Cook, the crowd was like amped up even more than ever before. And it was lights out. And Big Hub says, well, yeah, talk about comparing it to Stroud, though. Like, people are roasting Stroud but not Allen. Well, the body of work is there for Allen. You know, the stats, he is in the playoffs every year. He does win some playoff games, just not the last playoff game. So I think to compare those two, we've seen Josh Allen win many, 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 many football games in his career. We haven't seen that consistently from C.J. Stroud.
He had that one year where he was really good, then he regressed, and he keeps regressing. I mean, in the playoffs, he's been horrible.
Yeah, I mean, every year has gotten a little bit worse. That rookie year, he threw for 4,000 yards, 23 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions. Remember, that was such a big story. The next year, he threw for 3,700 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. He was sacked a lot his second year, 52 times. And then this year, only playing 14 games, threw for 3,000 yards, 19 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. Not atrocious numbers, but not like winning numbers to pair with this very elite defense. So it's wild, man. We got four teams left. Four teams left, and it has been a very entertaining season. And I'll tell you this, the Broncos got to be feeling not as much pressure going into this game. Because everyone expects them to lose now. Even though the narrative before was, it's all about this Denver defense. Well, now that Bo Nix shines on the national stage, and now he's out, suddenly, even though the narrative for 95% of the season was, it's going to have to be on this defense. Now, nationally, people are freaking out about Bo, and I guess that's the glass half full approach that I'm bringing to the table today. Bo wasn't doing that all year. You weren't winning games on Bo Nix's arm necessarily. You weren't losing games because of Bo Nix, but yeah, some. The Giants' comeback was one of those big ones. He had a great game against Dallas. He had a great game against Green Bay. But most of their wins came because their defense was playing lights out. They just weren't getting turnovers. What would you rather have? A defense that's a brick wall that doesn't give up a lot of yards? They do end up letting one squeak by once in a while, a touchdown? Or would you rather have the team that gives up 30, but they have five turnovers, most of those resulting in scores by the offense in the ensuing possession?
What, exactly what I just said.
Which one?
Turnovers.
Turnovers.
You go dry
change.
On turnovers.
Yeah. You would rather have the brick wall that doesn't give
up. I love the brick wall because you will go dry on turnovers. You'll have those games where you get five turnovers and then the games where, for some reason, the team just won't. They just hold on to the ball and you don't.
But in this
you
game.
You have to have that brick wall.
Even in this game, though, with the turnovers, it was still a very close game and you still needed the offense to put up 33 points because the defense, they were giving up. I mean, let's not. The Bills scored 30 points, Michael.
And the Bills were good on the ground, especially in that third quarter when they got the run going. It was like 10 yards, 15 yards, 8 yards.
Yeah.
Didn't we get a couple guys to help stop the run? Where are they?
Yeah, it was, you know, as far as that Bills first drive, it was a 24-yard run by James Cook. Then a 10-yard run by James Cook, 11-yard pass by Allen, 4-yard run by Cook, another pass, a 2-yard run by Cook, I believe. And I mean, he was getting what he wanted to do. And then in that second drive, when the Bills are up 7-3, you get a 5-yard run by James Cook at 2nd and 5, and then a 26-yard scramble by Josh Allen. I'm thinking, man, that 1-2 punch is going to be too much for Denver today. So after the 26-yard run by Josh Allen, next play, James Cook goes off the left end for 2 yards and then fumbles the ball. That, to me, was the game changer. And that was Alex Singleton causing the fumble and Hufanga recovering it. That changed.
I think this opens the door. For the Broncos, are going to get more turnovers in the next two games. I don't think they're going to get five turnovers, but I think they know now, oh, we can get turnovers.
This is a team.
Now they have confidence.
Mike, do you know how many interceptions the Broncos had in the regular season?
I mean, it felt like they had 5.
They had 10, which isn't a lot. Do you know how many fumbles recovered they had in the regular season?
Felt like they had 3.
4.
I've never, in all my years as a Broncos fan, I don't recall them having 14 turnovers.
Yeah. Just 14 turnovers, but in one game, they had
a third of it.
A third of that. 5.
That's ridiculous.
Right. And that was the thing that we were missing with this Denver defense, was their ability to force the turnovers. They were forcing fumbles. They just couldn't recover those fumbles, and they certainly weren't getting interceptions.
Yeah, now that they've been doing it, I think now that they've done this, is going to lead to more.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be, you know, like what was happening with C.J. Stroud, but I think they're probably going to get 2 turnovers in the next game. 2 turnovers in the Super Bowl.
They're going to need the turnovers now. And like you said, you can't count on those. You know, Benjamin Albright was on the show Friday, and I even said, well, why haven't the Broncos been a team that produces turnovers? And Benjamin said, first off, you know, you got to get lucky. And there's some truth to that, but do your edge rushers, rather than go for the sack, go for the strip first, like Von Miller against Cam Newton? You know, rather than just going for the body because you want to bring him down, your first instinct is to reach out for that football. And then you get the strip sack. There wasn't as much of that going on. And defensive backs, I mean, Patrick Surtain doesn't open himself up to get a lot of interceptions, A, because they don't throw his way, and B, because he's so tight. He's not, he doesn't bait people. He's just glued to the guy that he's guarding. And that doesn't always open up for crazy interceptions. 33 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break here. Very interesting weekend on the hoops side of things. We'll talk about that coming up next. Also, we got buy or sell. Short show today because we've got a good one for you on tap. We got midday hockey going on as the Capitals and the Avalanche are going at it at 2 o'clock. We'll have pregame coverage for you here in about an hour. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Bring the Broncos all the way, or will someone else rise to the occasion? Hear Broncos games and talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Jared Stidham's the guy now. He's the guy. Can Sean Payton get the best, the absolute best out of Jared Stidham this weekend against the Patriots for their chance to punch a ticket to the Super Bowl? All eyes will be on the backup quarterback turned starter. Two games. Can you win two games to give the Denver Broncos their fourth NFL championship? Can you win two games in the basketball world? Colorado State dropped Friday night to Boise State. And they just had a lot of sequences where the offense was dry. And Boise State absolutely needed a win. I think they lost like four or five in a row or something like that, and they were picked to finish atop the Mount West Conference. But just overall, 14 of 25 from the three-point line, 56%, not what killed you. Turnovers killed you. A lot of unforced turnovers in this game. 15 turnovers, and I can't, you know, what was it, 10 or so? Forced turnovers, I suppose, but just bad offensive sequences. You got Kyle Jorgensen back in this game, coming off of injury. He came off the bench for 16 minutes. He gave you 3 points. He had 1 3-pointer. There's still a difference when he's on the floor. Certainly will make a big impact as the season progresses. Rashawn Bemba starting at the big man spot there. I'll be curious to see what Ali does once Jorgensen is cleared 100%. Does KJ start over Bemba and bring him off the bench? I know they love his defensive ability in Bemba, but that's something to watch out for. The at-large bid opportunity for CSU is out the window. It's going to have to be winning the Mountain West tournament. Josh Pascarelli has slowed down his hot start. Teams, you know, the film is kind of out on Pascarelli. Don't give him an inch. And otherwise, he's gonna bury a lot of threes. He was 2 for 4 in that game. Brandon Recksteiner, I still love that guy's game. I like to watch him play. He had 17 points. He was tied for the team leader in points on Friday night. But the Rams right now, just, you know, like I said, maybe I shot too high because of my respect for Ali Faroukhmanesh. But this is an average team, and I asked Kevin that on Thursday, and he kind of pushed back. He's like, "No, I think they're above average. I think they're average. I think this is an average basketball team right now." And the UNC Bears on Saturday night, man, they're up 18 against Sac State. Mike Bibby's Sac State Hornets. They're up 18 with 9.5 minutes to go, and they end up losing in overtime, 93 to 89. Quinn Danker had a really good game. He had almost 29 points, but he had a lot of turnovers. So the Bears are struggling. Story there, Mike. The Bears are second to last in the Big Sky Conference standings. They're 1-5. They got one tonight against Montana State. I got tickets for that. I got a 4-pack of tickets, Mike. Should we give those away? We need you tonight. We need you tonight. The Bears need this one. Yeah. Desperate times call for desperate measures. We need some hooligans in the stands tonight.
Because there's trouble in paradise.
There's pass. Call, I'm going to take caller number 4. You're going to get a 4-pack of tickets to go see the Bears take on the Montana State Bobcats tonight. They're 4-1 in the Big Sky. This is a, you know, again, it's all about what you do in the tournament, but to stay in this thing, you got to win tonight. So we need some hooligans out at Bank of Colorado Arena. Caller number 4-970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. I got a 4-pack of tickets to go see the Bears in action tonight against Montana State. Really need to get this win. The Colorado Buffaloes have dropped 3 in a row. I thought this was a basketball state. They lost to Texas Tech. They lost to Cincinnati. West Virginia handled them. The Buffs get back at it tomorrow night against the Jayhawks. And, you know, Kansas is, what are they, like 14-5 or something like that? So it's going to be another tough game for the Colorado Buffaloes. Tad Boyle going up against his old crew. And for the Denver Nuggets, aside from yesterday, this team, you know, they're 7-4 without Joker, 7-4 in 100% Jokerless minutes, 29-14. They've certainly done their part. We're approaching the month, you know, the 4 weeks. We're approaching it since Joker went down. Joker went down on December 29th, so we're about 10 days away from that month mark. We are hearing good signs for Nikola Jokic, but I wouldn't expect him to join the team in the month of January. Still, I'm circling February 1st. I'm circling that date when they take on the Oklahoma City Thunder on Sunday, February 1st at 7:30 on NBC and Peacock. That's the one I'm circling. Watch out for it. 43 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We got more football to talk about, more Denver Broncos stuff, the way that game went down, and moving on without Bo Nix. Also, buy or sell coming up in the final hour of the show. Do not go anywhere. Let's get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
And the Nuggets lose 110-87 yesterday. You know, another back-to-back for Denver. No Aaron Gordon in this game. Kind of more of the same for, you know, guys trying to get back to closer to 100%. No Christian Brown. Still no Joker. Still no Cam Johnson. Still no Jonas Valanciunas. So I know the Hornets aren't good. It's a young team that could get good within a year or so. But Denver at this point, I'm still extremely pleased with how this team has performed without their guy. You know, Jamal Murray had 16 points in this game. He was off. He had one of those rare nights for him where he just didn't have it. Peyton Watson kind of came back down to planet Earth in this one. They just didn't look good. And, you know, overall, bad shooting night. Just, I mean, 8 of 38 from 3, 21%. And Charlotte wins 110-87. But still reasons to be optimistic about this team, and you're just hoping and waiting. You know, you just kind of felt like this. You know, Denver's just hanging on. They stitched it together, just hanging on. This can only last for so long. As fun of a story as it's been, this is not your consistent way of winning basketball games. Getting all of your guys back is a consistent way of winning basketball games. And they have the Lakers tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on NBC Peacock. So could be in for it. Could be in for a battle there. I'm not counting the Nuggets out, I'll tell you that. They'll get Gordon back. He'll play in this game. So we'll keep our eyes peeled for injury updates coming up when the Nuggets take on the Los Angeles Lakers tomorrow night. 12:49 the time. Let's wrap up hour number one. Coming up, we got a half hour power hour on the whole show. Buy or sell, all that on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFK. We got Avs coming up pregame at 1:30.
Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Woo! Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me go.
National championship tonight.
Word.
Mario Cristobal or Kurt Cignetti, Michael, as far as head coaches go. Who's the most annoying? No, I like them both.
I was
going to
say, Cristobal reminds me of one of the characters in Barry.
Cristobal has the one in a row thing, and Cignetti has the stare down and the business-like approach. No matter what, good, bad, ugly, he's got the same look. And he says, hey, if I'm over there cheering and happy on the sidelines, you know, I want it to be an even keel thing throughout the game. And I don't want to get too high. I don't want to get too low. So that's why I look stoic. That's why I look dialed in.
He's
all
even
the time.
Keeling you.
Yes. Okay. Final half hour of the show coming up. I got some buy or sell stuff for us to get into. And then we'll send it over here at 1:30 for the fellas for Avalanche Radio, courtesy of Altitude Radio here. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.